Welcome to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Breakfast Pod on this Friday morning, the 11th of September 2020. So much to get through because there is sport happening everywhere, all over the world. Let's start with the footy from last night. We'll start with West Coast coming from behind in the final quarter last night to kick the last three goals and run over the top of St Kilda.
And there's the siren. Can add a little bit of icing on the cake after the siren. He slots it home. And the West Coast Eagles will play finals in season 2020. And there's still a chance for top four.
Yeah, they're inside the top four now, the West Coast Eagles. More on that in just a second. Meanwhile, in the NRL last night, speaking of top four, the Rabbitohs kept their top four hopes alive with a 26 points to 24 victory over the West Tigers, although they did get a shock in the second half.
Away, Graham back on the inside, draw and pass, and they're killing them! The Rabbitohs having their way with West.
Big punch on in that game as well. Wayne Bennett had his say on that, and we'll hear from him next on The Breakfast Bite.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Yes, Andrew Mays with you for the next 25 minutes. We'll be updating you on everything in the world of sport, plus a bit of a sample of what's coming up today. On The Breakfast Club, we'll head to Craig Gabriel to have a chat to him about the US Open. The early mail before 7 o'clock, then get your pens out. Dean Lester and Nick Quinn are back to run through the quaddy legs at Flemington tomorrow. The Formula Bet, of course, and the Ramaruffi as well, all part of a huge half hour. Then Justin Longmuir after 7.30 this morning, the Fremantle coach. Great to hear from him again. And then Boomer Harvey will join the guys for the Friday footy preview after 8 o'clock. After 8.30, Racing Pulse with Michael Felgate. And at 9 o'clock, the Friday Form Focus, one of the best hours all week. Make sure if you miss it, podcast it as Sharky joins Michael Felgate to have a chat about everything at Flemington tomorrow, plus a look around the rest of Australia as well. And then after 10.30, Dean and Hamish McLaughlin will join Gareth Hall for a big Friday edition of RSN Central. And then Gareth will find you all the winners across the weekend. So there's a lot to get through on a busy, very busy Friday. As always, let's start with the footy last night. And if you're a St Kilda supporter, your head would be in your hands after doing a lot of the hard work last night. I'll let the West Coast Eagles back into it. And the Eagles kicking 4-3 in the final term to run over the top of the Saints. Final score 9-11-65 to the Saints. 6-14-50. Wayward kicking costing St Kilda in the end. Speaking of cost, it did come at a bit of a cost for the West Coast Eagles. Another injury. This time, Jeremy McGovern's hamstring went ping. Let's hear what Adam Simpson had to say about that.
I don't know. It didn't look like a twinge. So we'll find out in the next couple of days. We won't play players who aren't ready. Like, we're just not built to play 5 games in 19 days. You know, regardless of the reduced game time, it's just not. There's guys dropping left, right, and centre. So we probably, I don't know, our draw in the last 4 games, 5 games has been as tough as anyone's. And at the back end of the year, we're just holding on.
There we go, Adam Simpson last night. A very happy man after the win, despite the loss of Jeremy McGovern, at least you'd think, for the next couple of weeks. Let's focus in on tonight's footy. It is going to be massive, huge Friday night clash between between Geelong and Richmond. In terms of the team changes, interesting from Geelong, they've decided to hold back on bringing back Joel Selwood, so he doesn't come into the lineup. They made 2 changes with Radigalia and Zach Tui coming back in. Josh Jenkins has been omitted. Zach Guthrie has been omitted. Zach Tui will finally play his 200th game. Meanwhile, the Tigers, 3 changes. Dylan Grimes is back. Jack Ross and Kane Lambert. Jack Higgins has been omitted. Nathan Broad omitted. And Thompson Dow omitted. So 3 changes for the Tigers as well. Let's listen to Chris Scott on the decision just to hold back Joel Selwood for another week.
Look, he's in good shape. I understand if you would not completely believe me, but I think we've been pretty consistent in saying that we were going to wait to make sure he was absolutely right Now, he's right this week, I think, but we're just going to put the extra week in the bank and bring him back for the round 18 game. I'll flick you through his program at some stage with all the detail. Sorry, I'm being a smart aleck. I know you want more information, but I'm not going to give it to you. He's training unencumbered, has been for some time. We've got a plan that we think is going to leave him best placed to play really well in a final series. Well, if they're such key players, then there's no risk. You bring them back because they're key players.
Chris Scott speaking there. Yes, I will hear more from him later in the breakfast bite. Plenty of announcements of retirements yesterday as well. Bryce Gibbs and Matthew Kruse both signalling the end of their careers. John Worsfold spoke as well about Connor McKenna's retirement, plus Harris Andrews spoke about his injury and his new contract as well. We'll hear all that later on in the show. Let's head to the NRL now, though, from last night, where it was a bit of a fright for the South Sydney Rabbitohs. They got off to an absolute flyer, scoring the first three tries. It looked like it was game over, but then the West Tigers came back. The final score, 26 points to 24, an absolute ripper on Thursday night NRL. Here's Wayne Bennett after the win. Bit of a punch on as well, where two players, one from either team, found themselves in the sin bin.
It was entertaining. It wasn't for me, but I'm sure it was for the fans. You know, we just showed for 29 minutes what we can do, and then we, as I said, we let ourselves down with mistakes and drop balls here and penalties there, and all of a sudden we look like we couldn't beat them.
What'd you make of the fight, Wayne?
Was that a fight?
Punches were thrown.
Well, they didn't hurt anybody. It was a scuffle. The ref handled good. There's no problems. Players all know the rules there. No one can ever have a criticism of that.
So it's all right to throw punches as long as you miss, according to Wayne Bennett last night. Let's head to the cricket world. Good news, there's international cricket returning tonight from an Australian perspective, the first of three one-day internationals to take place over in the UK. Let's hear from Aaron Finch, who spoke yesterday. Australia's still searching for their best 11.
I think over the last couple of years, we're still searching for our best formula and our best 11 players day in, day out in the one-day format. I don't think there's been any secret to that. There's been great opportunity that we probably haven't nailed consistently in this format. We've played some really good cricket in patches and some indifferent cricket in other patches. So our world ranking probably reflects the inconsistencies that we've had in the one-day format. So we're really, really excited to start this journey again after a long layoff to hopefully playing some really good, consistent one-day cricket. But we're still searching for what's the best formula for us in this format.
Let's hear from Owen Morgan now on the series against Australia.
I think given how strong the squad is, it actually makes selection difficult in the final 11. We have a lot of options to go with, but we'll be going with the best option game on game to try and win each game.
We saw Josh Butler go really well in the T20 series, opening the batting. Are you considering moving him up at all?
Not in 50-over cricket. We've had probably one of the strongest opening partnerships, or top three in the world over the last 4 years. I think probably in comparison, India and Australia are the only two to either be better or compete with us. And throughout the World Cup was the same. So yeah, we'll be sticking with the same formula. The two guys at the top are exceptional at what they do. They operate in the manner that we want to continue to play, which is great.
Let's now head to the rugby world. Big day for the Melbourne Rebels tomorrow as they play their first ever final. Here's Dave Vessels on the magnitude of that occasion.
No, I'm excited about it. I mean, everyone plays to want to play in finals. You know, in a way, Sam, we've probably had a dress rehearsal for the finals in the last 2 weeks. You know, we played almost like a final against the Waratahs and a final against the Force last week. So I'm proud of the courage that the guys showed in both of those games to stay in all of those contests and get ultimately the outcomes that we needed in both of them. So I think the courage on the field that the team has showed has been indicative of some of the way that we've carried ourselves off the field, and I'm really proud of that.
Rebels to face the Reds tomorrow night. That's about it before we get to all of the live scores. Time to take a break at 19 to 6 on your Friday morning. On the other side of this, we'll catch up on the NBA, the Tour de France, the PGA Tour, and the US Open as well, plus the rest of your footy news leading into a big weekend.
This is the Breakfast Bite.
He's got 31. Started by Walker. Backing in. Kyle,
oh!
33 points fading away. North Philly's finest.
In the NBA yesterday, the Raptors beating the Celtics in overtime. That series now tied at 3-3. We are going to Game 7, which should be fantastic. In the other game yesterday, the Clippers too good for the Nuggets, 96-85. One game to come at 9 o'clock today. The Rockets will play the Lakers. The Lakers leading that series at this stage 2-1. And then the rest of the games coming tomorrow with the Clippers and the Nuggets to go head-to-head again. And then Game 7 tomorrow at 11. Isn't that a nice way to start before the races? Plenty of action coming tomorrow. Let's head to the PGA Tour now. The next season, amazingly, has started already. And Phil Mickelson's back to his old tricks.
Driving this one in low.
Sort of like that, Colin.
Great look here from behind the putter. Perfect.
Oh, I love that approach we saw from Phil. And
one under through 16 holes. Phil Mickelson on the first event of the new season on the PGA Tour. Russell Knox leads the way at 7 under the card. The Scotsman Brandon Still in second position at 6 under. Just an update on a couple of the Australians in the field. Cameron Davis finished his round just moments ago at 1 under the card. Aaron Baddeley is even through 17 holes. Rane Gibson is 1 over through 11 holes. And then a number of other Aussies to tee off a little later this morning, including our very own Cameron Percy, who's part of the field this week, and John Sendon, a veteran of the PGA Tour. He'll be teeing off around 20 past 6 this morning. So I'll keep an eye on those fortunes through the remainder of today. In terms of the European Tour overnight as well, it is the Portugal Masters, and Johnston, another Scotsman, leads the way at 10 under the card. From Guerre, from France, at 9 under. In terms of the Aussies there, Jason Scrivener, the best of them, as he often is on the European Tour. He finished in a tie for 29th after the opening round at 2 under the card. And then a few of the other Aussies, Jake McLeod and Zach Murray, both at 1 over. So hopefully they can make some inroads over the next couple of days. Just updating you on the US Open results from yesterday as well. Unfortunately, Alex de Minaur couldn't make it through to his first ever semi-final, but his wonderful run still has come to an end at the hands of the number 2 seed Dominic Thiem, 6-1, 6-2, 6-4. In the other quarterfinal yesterday morning, 7-6, 6-3, 7-6, Daniel Medvedev beat his countryman Rublev. So the semi-finals on the men's side of things now, Pablo Carreño Busta against Alexander Zverev. And in the other semi-final, Daniel Medvedev will play Dominic Thiem. So a couple of big names in action over the next few days. Just the women's semi-finals today, where Jennifer Brady will take on Naomi Osaka. That match to start around 9 a.m. Melbourne time. And then Serena Williams will take on Victoria Azarenka. A clash of two former world number ones there. But it should be a good morning of tennis as well. Gareth Hall will have the latest for you with that on RSN Central. Meanwhile, we finally broke through for Hershey in the Tour de France. He's been around the mark for the majority of this race so far, but last night, finally, his first stage win this year.
Sunweb, second on the opening weekend in Nice. That was to Julien Alaphilippe. Third on the second weekend. As he heads towards his first victory, jubilation takes over. It is heroic Hershey who is victorious.
Mark Hershey securing his first stage win this year. He did well to break away from the group on the final ascent, and then he was able to get to the finish line with a number of seconds to spare. Roglic maintains the yellow jersey after stage 12, and Sam Bennett is still in the green. So that's how things lie in the Tour de France at the moment, with plenty of action to come over the weekend and into next week as well. Let's head back to the footy news in case you are just waking up on this Friday morning. It was a come-from-behind victory for West Coast. Looked like they were almost down and out in the final quarter. Jeremy McGovern was off with a hamstring injury, but they kicked the last three goals of the game to win 9-11-65 to the Saints, 6-14-50. Let's hear from Brett Ratten after what will be a very disappointing loss. Their final spot still now not 100% guaranteed.
Yeah, the mood of the rooms was sombre, as it should be. That second quarter where we just got beaten around the ball, whether it was in the air or on the ground, they flipped probably the first quarter into the second quarter their way, and that really changed the momentum of the game and gave them a huge advantage.
How big an opportunity missed is it to be so close to securing finals and then being so unmanned?
Yeah, that's right. And then they lose McGovern, and that was in our favour because I think the period that he went off, we sort of got some scoreboard sort of momentum, but when he came back on, it sort of stiffened him up again. Then they lost him, and it was extremely disappointing, I think.
We'll hear from Chris Scott again a little later ahead of tonight's clash with Richmond later in the show. A couple of announcements yesterday from one Blue, one ex-Blue who's played the last couple of years in Adelaide. First of all, let's hear from Bryce Gibbs, an unwind pick in 2006, who's called time on his career.
And the crew that I'll probably miss most, the players. Both past and present. The locker room chat, the banter. Training for a common goal. Made some unbelievable friendships and bonds. I'd just like to thank you. To be told that I'm playing and to play against Carlton, it's going to be a very special day for me and my family, and something that I can look back on in 10, 20, 30 years' time and have a really fond memory of the couple of days leading into the game and obviously Sunday as well. So I couldn't have asked for it to pan out any other way.
And another Carlton number one draft pick yesterday, Matthew Kruser, announcing that his body just can't go on.
Yeah, I'm cooked. The mind can't do what the body wants to do anymore, so would have been good to stick around because I really believe we're going somewhere. It's going to be good to watch. Murph, Simo, Ed, sort of been a few boys a long time and had some great memories along the way and, really enjoyed it and look forward to sitting back now and having a beer and watch us keep going. Then just the family, they've sort of ridden at all the highs and the lows that not everyone sees. Obviously that first time you put the jumper on and you run out, that's pretty special. Getting the name on the locker in the change rooms, you look around and see the other names on the lockers and sort of pinch yourself that your name's alongside some of them. So that's something that's pretty special. And to be honest, I'm looking forward to actually just sitting in the stands and watching the boys play now, and being part of that crowd.
Matthew Kruser speaking yesterday. So a couple of Carlton's number one draft picks from mid-2000s. Calling it a day yesterday, Mark Murphy, the oldest of the three of them in a row, still going around for the Blues and looking likely to play again next year. Let's head to John Worsfold now. We'll find out what he had to say about Connor McKenna's retirement a couple of days ago.
To see the weight lifted off his shoulders, fighting the expectation of not letting a team down, not letting the club down, not letting supporters down, hanging in there to play AFL footy because he was on a contract was just a very, very heavy weight to bear. So we really appreciate everything Connor brought to our footy club and understand that it was a unique situation and he's in a really good position and happy with what he's doing now.
Bit of criticism levelled at the Essendon players for trying that joke at halftime as they came back out onto the field despite conceding about 12 goals in the opening half against the Cats the other day. John Worsfold responded to that yesterday.
If telling that joke got them up and played the footy they played in the second half where we had more scoring shots and more inside 50s than Geelong, then we should have been cracking those gags before the game. people are going to put perspective on it. Again, it's a very narrow focus in the context of what players are doing. We can pick on players, groups at any time. We want the AFL to have some characters in the game. But ultimately, we get measured on performance. Our first half wasn't good enough. The players having a laugh post that and then going out and performing a lot better, people can read into that how they want.
And let's finish with John Worsfold, who responded to Matthew Lloyd's criticism of the way Essendon are going at the moment.
I think it's just Matthew's personal opinions. I'm not sure if he's garnered any support with those, but that's his job. He's a commentator, not a journalist, from what I understand. So don't expect him to make journalistic comments. He's just an opinion maker, and he's welcome to do that if that's the way he feels. He's not making them as an Essendon champion. He's making them as someone who has to earn his pay. So he needs to do that, and if that's how he needs to do it, then that's fine. I don't mind people out there doing their job, and that's what Matthew's doing. So there's no other issue with it at all.
Good news for the Brisbane Lions through the week with Harris Andrews extending his contract. Here's what he had to say about that yesterday.
Really enjoyed my time at the footy club. I guess since Fags and Nobes have come in, just the plan they've put in place, something that I can obviously have bought into, and I really enjoy my time, love the guys at the club, and stoked to be here. This is the only option for me, yeah. The club's put really big faith in me from the start of my career, and obviously being a Brisbane boy, I've got friends, family, my partner, they're all here, so I'm really grateful for that.
Also gave us an update yesterday, Big Harris Andrews, on his injury, that hamstring, that might keep him out for a fair bit of the Brisbane Lions finals campaign.
It's important to not try and get too far ahead in the rehab program. And as I've talked to Fags, I've hopefully got a long career ahead of me. And, risking one game probably isn't the right answer at this point. So I'll be doing everything I can to try and improve and get my body right and get the hamstring right. And, if it comes to that, we'll worry about that when we get there. But at the moment, it's just getting moving again, doing what I can on the track and in the weights room, and go from there.
And Tom Mitchell yesterday from the Hawks spoke about stepping up to the captaincy if the opportunity arises next year, if Ben Stratton moves on.
I just want whatever is best for the club. If I'm the right person to lead us forward, then I would love that, and would be more than happy to do it. I've really enjoyed the opportunity and relished the opportunity to step up in a leadership sense and try and lead from the front with my actions, but also help the younger players, both on field and off field. I still wouldn't say I'm all the way there yet, to be honest. I still think, coming off an injury like this, I think I'm at about 18 months now, so I think another pre-season will really help get some more conditioning into my legs and make me feel stronger and help me, my running capacity as well. I know there's another level for me to get to because I've been there before, and I just don't feel like I'm there at the moment, but I'm confident I'll get back there.
Let's hear from Buddy Franklin. He spoke about the youngsters at Sydney and enjoying his time in the hub despite not playing a game.
I think we've had a number of young kids come in this year. I think Robottom, Blakey, even Wicks has come in and played some really good football. But, guys have been given opportunities this year, and a lot of them grabbed it with two hands. The hub's been pretty good. It's been pretty good. It's gone actually quite quick. I've just enjoyed the opportunity to get around the boys, build relationships with a lot of them. It's been great, and we've loved our time in Cairns.
And let's finish with the preview of tonight's clash. It is going to be magnificent between Richmond and Geelong. Very much anticipated. Here's Chris Scott ahead of the clash.
There's only bad times and really bad times to get the Tigers. I prefer not to look at it that way. I think that both teams have given themselves a chance to compete at the end of the year, which is always, a big part of the battle in any season. The next part is converting, and over time, at least recent time, they've been really good at converting and we haven't been as good. So, again, I'm probably opening the door to sort of look back a little bit too much, which we'd prefer not to do. But look, we think we're in pretty good shape and ready to play somewhere near our best.
Chris Gott speaking yesterday. Lots to come on what will be a massive Friday leading to an even bigger weekend of sport. Don't forget the Breakfast Club. Half Whitey and Rammer up next after the 6 o'clock news. From 7 o'clock, Dean Lester and Nick Quinn. From 8:30, Racing Pulse with Michael Felgate. And Sharky will jump in for the Friday Form Focus. Then all the form on RSN Central with Gareth Hall as we try and find you all the winners across a huge weekend of sport. Have a great